Good morning.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. So you are alive. Well, that's quite pertinent because today I want to talk to you about life. There you go, the fancy graphics. Ironic that that is actually a dead leaf that's on the picture, but I thought it looked pretty and you'd all go, ooh and ah. As you might have gathered, I like a bit of heckling, I like a bit of audience participation, so let's have a bit of an ooh. One, two, three. Ooh. Right, okay, right. Life is this subject, we talk about life, really, sometimes glibly. You see, it says in John, it says this, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So you get this idea that Jesus was with God, because Jesus is the Word. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And in that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, the mark of Jesus is life. If we see life, we see something, even if it's just a shadow, we see something of the mark of Jesus. We can look at creation and go, wow! I'll tell you a story as a side. Are you okay if I chase a few rabbits? I disagreed with God once. I've done it several times. And I have a place that I go up to up near where I live called Bow Stones, and it's high up in the peaks, and I can go and have a good shout at God and tell him how wrong he is. And I sat and I stood there, it was the middle of the night, and as I looked up, the clouds opened and I could see a star. And it was like something from Close Encounters. A circle of clouds opened, and I'm looking at this eternal star. And from me being angry with God, I just went, wow! And it put me in my place, to be honest, you know, subtly. And, you know, we look at creation and we can see something of the mark of God. In him is life. Jesus is life. Okay? And then it said, then the Lord, Genesis 2:7, then the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. We have the life of Jesus in us, even before we're saved. The fact that we are predestined, we've been formed, we've been knitted together in my mother's womb. God's in control. God has breathed his life into me. I may not see the fullness of that. I may not know the fullness of that. But God is about life. You are living. He loves the life in you. Why? Because he's loving himself. God is a God of life. If he reproduces himself, he can't but produce life. God is a good God. He produces goodness. God is a generous God. He produces generosity. God is a living God. He reproduces life in us.
Amen.
And he loves to do that. That is the delight. But you see, we know that we live in a world that is fallen. We know that we live in a world where there's an attack on us. And Jesus addresses that. Jesus came and he says this in John 10:10. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life. But not life as we just know it in the normal. I've come that you can have life in the fullness. There is something about this life that God gives that is absolutely awesome compared to the life that we know. And if I go back to when before I was Christian, someone asked me today when I became a Christian. That was November the 24th. A long time, long time. I know I look 21, you meant to say, but who's laughing there? Right, but you see, I don't want to go back to where I was before that.
No.
That wasn't the kind of life that God's intended for me. And in fact, there's parts of my life, even as I've become a Christian, there's parts of my life that God goes, actually, Richard, I want to deal with these. Because I'm changing you from glory to glory. I'm actually changing your worldly life into something of mine. For it says, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the whole reason we are here. We worship Jesus because his intention was that we don't just have this mundane world of life, but we have something that is eternal, something that is amazing. And I don't know about you, but I look at my life. I've had this brewing all week and I've been chewing this over. I look at some aspects of my life and I think, I'm not living that. If we're absolutely honest with ourselves, are we living the fullness of life that God has for us? And I can honestly say in my life, I'm not. And what I've been doing this week, I've been kind of doing practical labor in the garden. I've been having this conversation about transforming my life, addressing issues, things that I've not been doing, things that I should be doing, things that I need to change. And it's actually quite a painful process, you see. If I don't address things in my life, the devil will. I made the mistake. I confess, dear, it was a mistake. I made the mistake of having a good idea, which pulled down the old children's playhouse garden shed, and I'm building a new log cabin in my back garden. Great project, great idea. Somewhere quiet for Adele to go when I'm playing the bagpipes. But the work involved, and we've got these, I can show you the photographs, we've got these trees, hawthorns, with this big, with a root system. The soil is really good. It used to be an old nursery just round where our... But the soil's really good. So what's happened? Hawthorns thrived. All the bushes have thrived. I've spent 3 days, I've broken a fork and everything, trying to get this root system out. Because I know if I don't get the root system out, it's just going to come back again, and I'm going to have to face it later on. And you know, with our lives, if we don't fill, we are good soil. Why? Because we've got Christ in us. If we don't allow Christ to make our lives fruitful and full of life, then what's going to happen is the devil's going to use that soil and actually put his hawthorns in. And the trouble is, it then takes a long time to get out. And it's taken me bit by bit, picking a bit. And so with our lives, we've got things we need to pick up. But I realized this. I had one realization, you see. There is a currency to do with heaven. The currency of heaven, there's a secret of the kingdom finances. Do you want to be rich? He said, amen. We want to be rich. Well, let me kind of tell you this. You see, the currency of the world is money. Yeah. And life is cheap. We only have to look at the arguments politically over the virus vaccine. We only have to look at slavery. We only have to look at how we work for a, you know, sometimes we feel like we're working for a pittance, that we're not valued. It's all about money. Yeah. It's all about money. And you see, if I had a £10 note, if you look at a £10 note, it says, I promise to pay the bearer £10 or whatever. It's an IOU. Immediately you have money and you give money, it's a debt. It's an IOU. Do you understand that? And it's all about putting yourself... Do you know in Christ we don't have debt? You see, the currency of God's kingdom is life, and money is cheap.
Yes.
And if we live in the world's version of life, we're forever in debt. Because that's all money is. It's a debt. Think about that.
Yeah.
We live with our mortgage. We lived in Birmingham, and we felt the Lord was calling us to move, and there were one or two miracles that happened. And next door neighbour came and said, well, we're interested in buying a house. I said, oh, come round. Well, it was a Sikh family, and we must have had a dozen of the men turned up to have a look round this house. And the elder turned up and said, right, we'll give you 68,000, was it, or something. And he got this cash out. Started counting the cash. They lived not in debt. They lived, and they just, as a family, would just buy houses complete, no mortgage. What I'm trying to do is, it's almost, they found a way of avoiding the money issue. But what I'm trying to say to you is this, is our currency is life. And we need to change that, and money becomes secondary. Russ talked about a man going to heaven with a load of gold bars. And they said, oh, let him in. If he wants to bring gold bars, we need some more paviors for the road. Yeah. You know, it's a bit like that. We actually value things the wrong way round. Yeah. And money serves life, not life serves money.
Yes.
So how can I see the life of God? I've talked about life. And if God sees it as precious, I need to be able to look for it. I need to be looking, finding a way of being able to see God's life around me. I need to almost to say, God, give me the ability to see it.
Yes.
Well, if you talk, I don't know if there's anybody here who's done GCSE biology. Anyone done GCSE biology? Right. What they do in GCSE biology is they have Mrs. Gren. Is that familiar? How many of you know Mrs. Gren? Okay, flick on the next one. You see, it's an acrostic. Mrs. Gren is the necessary features of a living organism. If an organism, I'm getting my tongue tied here. If an organism is alive, then it needs to be showing movement, respiration, sensitivity, growth, reproduction, excretion, and nutrition. There's issues of nutrition as well. We'll talk about that in a minute. But these are key words. And see, this is the way a GCSE child is trained to look for life. And I kind of thought, well, that's just science, you know, as a teacher, nothing to do with church. And yet again, I've been chewing this over for some time now. Because if I looked at this and put my spiritual hat on and said, well, how do I see God's life? This actually becomes very, very useful. And you can actually pick up Mrs. Gren off the website, any website, if you put it in, Signs of Life. You see, movement. Am I actively involved? I don't know about you, but lockdown, it was very difficult not to become just a consumer. It was very difficult. I'm a doer. Some of you, if you know me, you'll know I like to get involved, get in the thick of it, and I like to be active in church. That's naturally who I am. And the question is, are we sitting on the periphery? Or have we come back from lockdown where we've had to, for various reasons, sit on the periphery? Have we got used to it? You know, we once had some plants delivered to us in a plastic container, you know, like little plastic box with a single plant in, and it's in a cardboard box and it comes through the post. And I kind of thought, sometimes if it stays in that pot too long, it dies. And I believe the Lord is saying that we've been packaged too long.
Yes.
And it's time now to unpack it and actually start being active. Was it, I forget which, is it Spurgeon who was once told by someone, I can go on my own, I can do it all on the periphery. And Spurgeon was in front of a fire and he took a coal out, put it to one side and the coal died. We need to get ourselves in. We need to get ourselves in the community and get active with what the church is doing. Respiration. I was in the centre of Kuala Lumpur last year when we weren't in lockdown. And you suddenly find it's just so obnoxious on a hot day when the sun come down. You're breathing in those fumes. And you compare that with going into the countryside. I know which air I would choose to breathe. And we all do. You know, it's like being in the centre of Manchester or out in the Peak District for me. And we know that. We know, it's instinctive. It's a gimme. We know I'd rather be somewhere nicer to breathe or on the seashore breathing in there. And yet spiritually, we put ourselves in situations where we're in spiritual pollution. And we're quite happy to breathe it. Does that not seem like, a friend of mine would call that the spirit of stupid, but can you see where I'm going with this? We can choose what we breathe spiritually. And if we're absolutely honest, have we put ourselves, yes, I need to go into Manchester occasionally, yes, I need to go into certain environments because that's part of life, but where am I breathing? Where am I putting myself? We sat here, some of us, with masks on. We choose to wear masks. I understand that. I'm not trying to... But are we actually protecting ourselves from those noxious spiritual fumes that seek to kill our lives. Sensitivity. We were talking about the who won the competition, by the way, with the sunflowers. 2nd of August. Are we still tense on who's going to win? Sunflowers track the sun. Maybe we should track the sun. How's that for a S-O-N? Maybe we should track Jesus. Maybe we should set our face like flint and meditate on things above. I know it's transformed me this week. I've kind of found I get into this cycle where I lose my edge, and then I reach a point where I've lost my edge, and then God starts to kind of chew things over and I come back. Growth. I hate roots. I hate roots with a vengeance. Digging out these roots. They travel. You know a willow? You know a weeping willow? Do you know their roots travel 25 metres? So if you have a weeping willow near your house, any less than 25 metres, be warned. They're hungry for water. They're notorious for it. But root system. Under and over growth. You see, I put here under and over ground because sometimes we can get so worried about our growth, about what we see. It's not a numbers game. Growth is not about how many converts have I had today. Growth is about personal growth. It's about the life growing in you. It's about you becoming a bigger person. It's about you setting your roots deeper. It's about you becoming that stronger, more resilient, living thing that may reproduce. But reproduce is the next one. Reproduce, reproduction, an atmosphere changer. When you walk in a room, do you change the atmosphere of that room? Do you bring God's kingdom? Wherever I set my feet, we talked about this earlier in the year, where I put my feet is God's kingdom. Am I an atmosphere changer? I put BS&S. That is actually body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Am I changing the spiritual atmosphere of people around me? Do people change the language, the way they speak, because a Christian is in the room? Yeah. Do I challenge souls and let souls actually focus on where they are? Are they meditating? I actually went to a folk club once as a young man and told them I was, that's one of the songs, it was a song I was doing. I think it was to be a pilgrim, you know, he who would valiant be. And I was playing that and mentioned I was a Christian. And you know, every song that was played before that, compared to every song that was, there was an atmosphere change. I kind of was telling Adele about it because it's something that was reminded. Where we are and what we do can change the atmosphere of a place. Now, that may be that we reproduce that people come to Christ through that. But it may be that all you're doing is turning people's face towards Christ. It may be you're causing people to take a step. As you know, becoming a Christian is a journey. But are we changing atmospheres? Are we changing what people do, think, and focus spiritual? I mean, I have a situation where I've been in a room and someone won't talk to me because there's something going on spiritually in their life. And there's something of God's spirit and their spirit that's not, you know, it's almost nothing to do with me, but I am a carrier of life. And so I'm kind of saying, are you reproducing? Excretion. That's an interesting subject. But you know, you go to some churches, and I'm kind of sad to say that you feel like you're walking into a museum that's been pickled. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you go to some particularly old churches where they've got a form of income and stuff, people come and have a look around the building. The danger is it becomes a museum. But you see, a living church has mess. Yes. You have mess in the building. You have mess with the people. We'll have, not all of you will like me. I don't understand that, but not all of you will like me. But there will be something about me that will grind. It works probably with, let's be honest. Let's just kind of be honest with ourselves. You know, you can pick your friends, but not your family. Yeah. We are family. Tough, you're stuck with us. But we are, you know, and I'm in danger of losing, we will create mess. Yes. And that mess is not a problem. It's a problem if it's left there too long. As you know, things go rotten and things kind of... But it's good that sometimes we get mess. I was thinking about metal being... I don't even know, but the pot that you heat metal up into is called a testing pot. You have a test, you are being put under pressure. Why? Because all that is wrong comes to the top so you can scrape it away. It's an opportunity to make you better. A test is an opportunity to make you better, not to actually show what you don't know. And so you can scrape off the mess. And you will find here that there will be dross, there will be mess that will come to the top. Why? Because God's working his life in you. He's making you more like him. And the mess is coming to the front. Praise God. Nutrition. Sore points in my household. What do you do for a job, Adele?
Dietitian.
As you can see, I am... Someone said to me, I have the body of a god, Buddha. You know, a nutrition, I know what I should eat. I know exactly what I should eat. When I said to you last night, Adele had gone to bed, I stayed up and had a packet of pork scratchings and a crisp butty. And I know what I should eat. And so what we feed on spiritually, we know what we should feed on spiritually. Yes. We know what our source of life is. But do we always do it? I'm kind of trying to be real here, guys, because I actually have been mirroring myself all week on this, and I'm kind of I've been challenged. Because we need spiritual dietitians. Yeah. And actually, turn left and right, and you've got spiritual dietitians. Yes. Okay, left and right. And we nearly did a sketch, but I decided it was going to spoil the flow of things a bit, and I hadn't quite got time. Adele was going to come and do a dietetic interview, and we're going to do just to kind of show you the kind of question. And it was painful. It got a bit embarrassing because she started kind of asking what I was eating. And and I thought we'd end up with a ministry time if you're all kind of dealing with me. But you see, spiritually, we need people who we can talk to. Yeah. We need people who we can be honest with. We need people who we can just talk about life and who will ask us questions, who won't be the smiley yes, but who will get us in a place where we can actually talk and say, this is what I'm feeding on. You see, there's pain in change. There's pain in growth. There's pain in life. I only have to tell you about this root system in my garden while I'm changing this hut. I'm kind of speaking like I'm regretting it. And there's pain involved. You look at these things, and I procrastinated about dealing with this root system, knowing it had to be dealt with. And brothers and sisters, I know that we're looking at our lives and we look at what's not right in our lives. And we procrastinate, and our whole life, we see people doing weird things to avoid dealing with that root system of something they know they have to deal with. Yes. And God is saying, it's time to stop procrastinating. Because change is painful, but it's good. Yeah. You see, what we choose to let us grow will grow. If we choose to do nothing, then something will still grow. And it'll only get worse. I have a little magic cube that I normally bring, a sponge, and I just say it's a dragon egg. And a little girl was given one of these and told never to keep it. She's got to get rid of it, and she doesn't do it. And when I turn it inside out, I should have brought it. You'd have all gone, ooh, ooh. Another ooh moment. Go on. Ooh. Right. And this thing then grows and it eats her. That's the story. And the story is children's story. Ooh. The story being is, whatever we choose to let grow in our garden will be the fruit that we'll bear in our lives, be it hawthorns that will rip our arms apart to fruit growing. So how do I see the life of God in me? This is where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? This is really what we're asking. I know you're bursting to answer me that question, so thank you very much. So I'm going to answer that question. How can I see the life of God in me? And I've got three things, action points. Okay, are you ready for this? This is going to be so amazing. You're going to leave here absolutely stunned. Some of you have fallen asleep. I'm going to have to do a dance or something. So how can I see the life of God in me? Number one, personal growth. The obvious thing is, take Mrs. Gren and do what I've done. Chew it over. Be honest with yourself. Walk round the garden of your life and say, do I know what that plant is? Do I want that to be living in my garden? Does that really want to be in my life? Or do I actually allow that to be got rid of, even when it's painful? Start to make a choice to Mrs. Gren your own life. Look up Mrs. Gren. It's great. It's really fascinating stuff. Get yourself back into doing biology. That's an obvious one. Agreed?
Yeah.
Number two, difficult one, vulnerability. Invite someone to disciple and nurture your life. Disciple is a bit painful.
Yes.
Giving someone permission to speak into your life as it actually is actually very, very difficult. Trusting that they may not say yes, but may say no. Trusting that they may say, actually, you're making a bit of a pilchard of yourself. Is actually a very painful thing. But finding someone, if you haven't got someone, talk to these guys because they know the congregation better than any of us. And they will find someone who you can talk to. Find someone you can talk to, have a cup of coffee with. Don't set yourself targets to do the whole garden. Set yourself a target on where you're going to deal with. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you'll be able to approve what God's will is. Taking hold of strongholds, find a stronghold that you need to work with. But don't try and say, well, there's a big thing here, and you're kind of saying, well, I've got this little thing here I want to deal with. Let's go for it. Let's go for it. We talked about purity. And the third thing is a real challenge. I want to encourage you, once you've started to grasp the agenda of Mrs. Gren, is to start encouraging others.
Yes.
Look for the signs of life in each other. And here's the real challenge, because we were talking, weren't we, about... I said, find three things to say to people to encourage the life in them. Three things that you see, and you can go, do you know what? I can really just see that. That's God working in you. Well done. Keep going. Three things per day. And Adele said, ooh, can we do three a day? Didn't you? You kind of.
three a week,
Adele said. I want to challenge you though. Find three positive things looking for life in each other. If you see the life in someone else, if you can think of more, it's even better. If you're one of these people that can, wow, you can see life in 20 things, go and do 20. But minimum, set yourself this target of actually looking for life in each other.
Amen.
Barnabas was called Sons of Encourager. That's what Barnabas means, Sons of Encourager. And in fact, if you look at the Bible, Barnabas worked with Paul, who nobody wanted to work with because they didn't trust him because he was Saul. But Barnabas said, no, I'm going to take him. And he encouraged him. And he goes, Barnabas and Paul did this. Barnabas and Paul did that. Barnabas and Paul. And then suddenly it goes, Paul and Barnabas. Why? Because Barnabas had encouraged someone to actually go and go higher than they've ever gone. And I want you to encourage people, just like Barnabas, to grow in their life.
Amen.
If there's something that people are trying to do, encourage me on my roots. Ask me how I'm doing with my roots next week. But do find something spiritually to encourage. How are you doing with that? Well done indeed. I mean, I've had Adele out every day, kind of showing her this, every so often. It's this vast root system. And I've spent a whole day and I've shifted 2 square foot of it. And I've had Adele out. Please encourage me. Please encourage me. Please encourage. Well, spiritually, help encourage each other. When people are dealing with issues that may take a long time to deal with, Sometimes Neil Anderson talks about how a change of mind can take 6 weeks to change a thought pattern. Well, some of the things take even longer. Look for ways to encourage. And I just kind of want to finish off with this, really, and that is, we are, as I repeat, we are in a system where if we don't deal with life in us, the world will carry on growing in us.
Yeah.
We have got amazing soil. You are amazing people. You are as God planned you to be. God sowed life into you. He breathed life into you. You were born. You were created. He created you unique. There is no one like you. You might look at me and say, that's very good, but there's, you know, we are, God says his creation is very good, and you are very good. We can learn to live. He has come that you can have life. We can have life and have it to the full. And I'll just put the final slide up there. You see, look at that list in you. Look at that list in the other. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you are a God of life. We thank you that you are life, you breathe life, that you've breathed life in us. Lord, we thank you that when things have gone wrong, you've actually come back so that we can not just have life, but we can have it to the full. And Lord, I just pray you can open our eyes, open our hearts, open our spirits to you, Lord. Give us the ability to see the agenda you have for our lives, and give us, Lord, the boldness of faith to actually accept that ministry of your Spirit. Lord, I pray for those who don't have someone who can disciple and nurture. Lord, we pray that you will put people in their paths who can help them, who can bring encouragement. Lord, and I just pray for wisdom with us. And Lord, we speak life. We speak life over this church. We speak life over this place, over this city, over this region, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.